Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We got a couple of NFL games with interesting, in wrestling they call them stipulations. Of course, these aren't real stipulations because that's not how the NFL works, but we've attached stipulations to them. And we'll get into some of those later. But Jesse asked earlier in the week, like, is it time to just start ruling out teams? Like, have we seen enough of certain teams? Like, who are you just, like, completely out on? Are there teams that you're kind of out on? Are there teams that you're holding on to? And one team that I'm completely out on, despite the matchup this weekend, which we'll talk in-depthly about tomorrow, is the Bears. I'm out on the Bears. I can't decide if I'm completely out on Caleb Williams, but I'm out on the Bears. This isn't a good football team. And all of those people who try to pretend that they might be a good football team, I'd like further explanation.
Okay. So,
and the first person we're going to ask is Marshall Harris. He's going to join us tomorrow.
Did Marshall think they were going to be good?
I don't know. Well, I don't think so. I don't think Marshall ever thinks the team that he calls is going to be
good. That's a good point. I think he was a... I don't know. Yeah, we'll find out tomorrow. A believer in Caleb. I think he was like.
I think that's true too.
I think he was like, yeah, get him with the right coaching. But, and some of it, understandably, is jaded because the coaching they had before was so inept.
Sure.
You probably want to look at Caleb and be like.
For sure.
Let's see him with a much better coach.
But that doesn't mean you have to have a immediate 1 year turnaround. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe what the Bears look like, we're 3 weeks in. 4, 5, 6, 7 is different than they look in 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 and so on.
Well, to that point.
Maybe.
We may feel different about them on Sunday night. I mean, the Bears have an opportunity, and if I was Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams and all those guys, I would be looking at Sunday and saying, you know what? Play a good game. Play a clean game. And after all the talk, all the embarrassment of week two, all the embarrassment of week one, where we blew that lead at home, mess around. We're right here at 2-2. 4 weeks in, we back to .500. Now we can let's start the season over again. This is a big opportunity for the Bears. Mm-hmm. And I'm not out on them yet. I'm not out on them yet because if they can, just looking at that, if they can get this game on Sunday against the Raiders, They can say, look, we're 2-2 after all of that. They can even maybe go a little further and be like, man, we gave one away. We should be 3-1 right now. Mm-hmm. We got beat down by the Lions, but we gave one away on the opener. We were dominating that game. Get back to playing good football like we had in 3 of the 4 weeks. Once again, assuming if they were to beat the Raiders, it's the conversation you would have. And we can do some stuff as the season goes along. There's still hope from them, for them, and I'm not out on them yet. Not out on them.
Okay. Is there a team that you're out on?
The Colts.
That's fine.
No, that's fine. No.
You could be out on the Colts.
I mean, there's a bunch of teams. I was never in, but the Titans, the Saints.
I was never in on the Colts. Until like now, I'm in on the Colts now.
I'm in. So when we say they're going to make the playoffs,
they can win the division.
Playoff.
The Colts can win the division.
When we say in or out, it's I'm out. They're not making the playoffs. Is that kind of the classification?
It can be, I'm out. They're not making the playoffs, and they're not what a lot of people said they might be.
Okay.
In meaning, making the playoffs better than expected. Like, I'm in on the Buffalo Bills. You're not saying anything to me. Get out of my face. That's not saying something.
Right.
Saying I'm out on the Baltimore Ravens, that's a take. Yeah. That's saying something.
It could, and there's levels to it too, right? To what you were saying. Like, I could say I'm out on, I don't know why I'd say this because they're undefeated, but I'm out on the Bills. Yeah, it'll make the playoffs, but you guys talked about them like a championship team. I'm out on them winning the championship.
Sure.
I'm out on the Cowboys. I don't think that's a playoff team. Some people, after week two, were kind of, look at them, and Dak has played pretty good. No, we ain't doing that. I'm not there yet, but I know where the door is on the Raiders. Oh, man. I know where the door is.
I'm not there yet.
If they lose on Sunday, I might walk right through
the door. Oh, yeah, if they lose on Sunday, I might throw them through the door. I don't think they're going to, though.
They're going to win?
Yeah. No, I didn't say that either.
No, I'm saying you don't think they're
going to lose. But I don't. I'm serious. I'm not ready. I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready. But I got a little more work to do.
I think the Bears are winning that game.
Man.
I think the Bears are winning that game.
I don't know.
That's tough. I don't want it to be the case.
I just said I'm out on the Bears.
Yeah.
If they beat the Raiders, I'm going to be really frustrated with the Raiders.
I'm not out on the Raiders yet. Like I said, I know where the door is. That's all. But I do think they're going to, well, maybe I am out, because if they lose on Sunday, I said I was going to walk through the door. I don't think they're going to win on Sunday. So.
You know what two teams have averaged over 400 yards per game?
Let me guess. Average over 400 yards per game.
There's only two.
The Ravens and...
Of course you'd say the Ravens. Jesus Christ. Power rankings, the one and two.
The Colts one?
Oh, the Colts are probably, yeah. Ravens and Colts?
It's the Colts and Bills.
Colts and Bills.
Or to be more specific, it's the Bills and the Colts.
How did the damn Ravens score, 41, 41, and 38 and not have 400 yards a game?
I think they had defensive touchdowns in the second one, didn't they?
Maybe a special teams one, yeah. Too.
I mean, and obviously that shortens the field, the yardage you need to get and all of that. I'm never going to be able to sell you on the Colts, and that's fine. Maybe not till week, 15. Maybe week 17.
If they win on Sunday, they'll get my attention. I won't be sold on them.
What about Detroit? Are you?
Oh no, I've amended my proclamation from.
Like, you're in. Yeah, you're completely in. Yeah, me
going
too.
To the playoffs.
You know where I'm different than you. I'm in on Dan Campbell's fourth down strategy. Excuse me. I'm in on Dan Campbell's fourth down strategy, and I think the reason why. Like Kyle Madsen explained it perfectly. You said it may have cost you the Super Bowl. It may have cost you a chance at the Super Bowl. And like in a vacuum, that's a perfectly fair assessment. But I think if Dan Campbell had spent the entire year not going for it on fourth down, being whether you want to call it conservative or traditional, and not going for it, then went for it in that NFC championship, and you determine, okay, he misses it. You might have cost yourself a Super Bowl chance by that move. Mm-hmm. That's fair. You could probably, and I don't have every situation in front of me, but you could probably make an argument they might not be in that position in the NFC championship if they had not taken the gambles that they had on fourth down. He stuck to his identity, and this goes back to the conversation we had with Coach Marion after his decision to pass the ball on that in the fourth quarter that was returned a couple of weeks ago. we often judge the result and not the actual decision. And in the NFC Championship, by the way, perfectly fair, comes with the territory. We judge the result. The decision was in line with everything that he does. Mm-hmm. I'm in on the I'm in on Dan Campbell's fourth down decision making. I'm in on that.
That's fair. That's understandable. Is what I equate it to sometimes, and you could tell me if it's a little off, but it's like a quarterback who's a gunslinger. Oh man, he's gonna take his chances.
Yeah.
And sometimes you want to say, "This is the NFC Championship game. This isn't Detroit."
Yeah.
Like, so I would, to your point, if that's what you've done all year long, I want you to do that. I understand doing that in the biggest moments. My retort to that is, I want you to not just do that all year long. Sometimes look at the situation and be like, "Nah, I'm not. I'm gonna quote unquote play it safe. Like I'm gonna kick the field goal to go up 17. You know, that's just how we win this game. And some of it may be because I don't want to have to, in the biggest moment when I know this is probably the smart and right decision, be forced to a certain degree to do something that I probably shouldn't do because I've done it all year long. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if I go for it every time in the regular season, but we get to the NFC Championship game and I'm like, I don't think we should go for it because I really don't think we should go for it. I think it's a bad move. I shouldn't. Well, why, coach? Like, we've always gone for it. No, it's. And then you just bring that up. Hell, at that point, though, you could just say, no, we're not going for it.
Yeah.
You can do that. You can go for it all year long. And then in a certain, no, once again, this isn't Detroit.
Well, it is Detroit, sir.
Yeah, you're not playing yourself either. But, yeah.
Well, some would say you are. Some would say you are.
Yeah, that gunslinger mentality, I said, is cute till you die by it.
Yeah. And Favre has died by it. Romo's died by it. Everybody who's been, I mean, shoot, they was trying to call Josh Allen a gunslinger. Mm-hmm. He died by it at times years ago. So, there's good and bad.
To that point, too, like Josh Allen kind of limited, like dialed back on it. Now he's probably playing the best football of his career.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That was a joke, but it wouldn't be nice.
What, you guys say something about Lamar now or something?
No.
He wouldn't dare say something about Lamar.
Well, I'm saying because I seen his Josh Allen tweets, and whenever you see something good about Josh Allen, Kenny's been there.
I was going to say maybe Tua should dial it back.
Oh, what the hell? We're going to break.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back here. Coach Marion set to join us. We're going to check a couple of things here just to make sure we're up and functioning. Looks like they're getting some things ready on Coach Marion's. Hold up. Is that? Just want to make sure. Is that? Who's poking? See, just make sure. That's not my man Lim over there, is it?
No, I think that's my boy Shark.
Okay. I just want to make sure. Because if it was Lim, he was going to make you like run sprints or something. Lim's funny, man. Like you coach always talking about like demanding things out of his players. Like Lim does not like his positive reinforcement is so underhanded. Because, like, you'll be doing something, and the worst thing that could happen is he pulls out his phone. Because that means you're going on Instagram, oh, right?
Yeah.
And you're not going to make him look bad on Instagram. So
and he's about to turn it up once he does.
Yeah, and so once, like, you're doing something, now up, let's go, up, and you mess up, hey, start over. And he doesn't say do it again. He says start over. Mm. And he doesn't say do it again because you weren't doing it right the first time.
Right, them reps didn't even count.
So start over and go.
That's cold game.
It's tough. Cold game. It works, though.
But it works on the gram,
check
too.
Check out the first picture on my Instagram page. It works.
It works on the gram, too. It looks like, hey, that's just what we do here. Shout out to Lynn, man. I got to get the game fit, man.
Got to get the game fit. Got to get to Sac State. Work out with them. Man, a training staff with Al Biakani.
Oh,
man. Al Biakani and Lem Adams.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Al B still scares me.
Them two would cure obesity in the entire country. Goodness gracious. Coach Brandon Marion going to join us here. And actually, we'll pull Coach up on the screen, see if it worked. Coach, we got you?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, what's good, go. Coach?
Beautiful. Appreciate
yes, sir.
It.
Absolutely.
Maybe, Coach, maybe you can and help our producer Jesse out a little bit. We're trying to find, he's a Dolphins fan, and we're trying to find a jersey that he can get because he don't want none of the current players because they probably ain't going to be here in about 3 weeks. So damn. He said he got him. Well, that's just.
That's true.
I got him beating the Jets this week, though. I do have that happening. But, you know, he said he got a Marino. There's a Larry Zonka. There's a Jason Taylor, Zach Thomas. Is there anybody we're forgetting? Classic Miami Ronnie Dolphins.
Brown, Ricky Williams.
Got the Ricky. We got the Ricky. Ronnie Brown, that's a good one. Ronnie Brown, inventor of the Wildcat. Did they start that with him?
Darren McFadden, yeah. If you're into that sort of thing first, yeah. I guess. Mm.
Jake Long, that's a good jersey.
God, remember when Wildcat was the buzzword in the NFL? Yeah. Oh, my God. It felt like a whole.
My college coach was the one who started that, Gus Malzahn.
Is that right?
Gus Malzahn, yeah. I didn't like the Wildcat.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah. It works at times. It depends on who the Wildcat guy is. You got to have Darren McFadden. You got to have Ronnie Brown. You know, you got to have Cam Newton that can actually throw the ball too. I mean, you got to have the right guy.
I just thought, and it like you're right. It did. It worked for a long time with those guys. But I was just like, man, you got. There's no type of the defense knows you're about to run. All 11 guys are about to run towards the ball carrier. How can you be successful for a long period of time with that? That was always my thought, but, you know.
Football was ran like that for a long time until they put that forward pass in there.
Coach gets it because that's that Pittsburgh. That's three yeah. yards in a cloud of dust in Pittsburgh.
Run that power back.
Coach, you was you were pretty adamant last week that, you know, despite the win, your team didn't play the way that you expected them to. How do you feel after last week's victory? Was that a little more in line of what you expect from your guys?
Yeah, I thought we started fast. I loved where we were at in the first half. I felt like we got some relief syndrome at halftime. So, you know, like me, I'm never satisfied. I mean, unless we go out there and it's 70-0.
Yeah, you look mad today, to be honest. You still you still don't look happy.
Nah, these dudes, it's never going to be enough. It's never going to be enough. Yeah.
Anytime you use the term these dudes, it's not good. This is not good.
When confetti falls down on us and we hold a trophy, then I'll say, all right. Good job.
I don't even think that's true. You're going to be Kobe. You're going to be sitting there like this with the trophy in your hand.
Yeah, it's crazy. When we won the championship, I was at Pitt in 2021. We won the ACC championship. And the players were so excited. And I was just thinking, like, we didn't play. We could have played so much better. You know what I mean? It's like, Coach, chill, bro. Like, take the picture. Smile, man. I'm like, all right.
Are you one of those guys? I feel like you are because you're super competitive, right? And you're a perfectionist when it comes to the game of football, maybe just in life in general. But are you one of those guys where winning is more of a relief than, like, I enjoy this? It's like, I'm glad we got the win. I'm moving on to what's next as opposed to, like, let's celebrate.
All I think about is, like, did you play, like, with every rep did you have, did you play it like your last? And did you do, like, were you, like, perfect on that rep, like, striving for perfection? Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you do that, then obviously that's what winning's going to come with that. But it's still so much more to, like, you know what I mean? Like, there would be games as a player. It's easier to explain as a player than it is as a coach. As a player, where I would have, you know, I think one game I had, like, 240 yards receiving, but I dropped a pass, and I literally was, like, in tears about dropping the pass, like, the one pass that I dropped. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, you play such a good game. But I'm like, bro, I dropped one pass. Like, I can't drop a pass. Like, I'm, you know what I'm saying? Like, that type of mentality is what helps me as a coach. It's a gift and a curse, because players be like, you know, it helps players get a lot better. But also it's like, man, this dude is always on my ass. Like, he's always on me. You know what I'm saying?
So real quick, yeah, though, because what I heard there was, not to bring up old stuff or anything, but that's from what I could gather, that was the conversation that Ryan Clark was having with Peter Schrager. Because Peter Schrager was saying CeeDee Lamb played a good game, and he played much better than A.J. Brown. And Ryan Clark was saying, first of all, AJ's team won, and CeeDee had drops. Like, I wouldn't say he just automatically played a good game. And what coach is talking about is that CeeDee had, like, 140 yards receiving, mm-hmm, that game. Mm-hmm. But he had three or four drops. Mm-hmm. And, like, coach, like, he's saying, as a player, it's like, I didn't play a good game. I left a bunch on the table. And I think, I don't want to say one person is right or wrong, but that's where they were missing each other. And Ryan was like, this is a player's –
But I don't even know that that's a player's perspective versus a non-player's perspective. I just think that's a mentality.
Mm. True.
Yeah.
True.
I mean, you think
you tell the guys, like, you can't look at it like how your mom would look at it. You know, your mom is going to be like, oh, he caught the touchdown. He meant, you know, like, happy about, you know, your baby being good at something. Right. But from a player's perspective, if you don't win the game, it's not good enough. There's not anything that you did good enough. Like, you had to do something better to affect the game, to change the game and win the game. So if you don't win the game, I can't realistically, like, you can, you know, have that fake positive thing where you say, oh yeah, I did good, da, 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 but really you didn't win the game. So there's a lot of things that has to change so you can win the game. And as a player, sometimes if I have to do less and my team, you know, especially as a receiver, right? You're talking about A.J. Brown. If he's had to be a decoy the whole game and he took a double team and that opened up the run game or opened up another receiver to get the ball and his team won, then he can hang his hat on that because he's like, you know what, my team won. Now, he's going to be upset. A real player is going to be upset because he didn't get the touches that he wanted to get or make the plays that he wanted to make. But he's going to be happy from the standpoint that we won the game, right? And so there's a lot that goes into it. You know, the mentality part of it. There's a lot that goes into that.
Well, what's this sound like? Like, we're going to be at Baker Family Wines on Sunday at 1 o'clock drinking wine with Dusty Baker. Dusty Baker, you know, one of the greatest winners Major League Baseball has ever seen, was in here in studio a couple of days ago. I asked him about, you know, we talked about what it meant for us to finally see him win that World Series. I asked him what it meant for him, and he immediately referenced everything that he had lost. Mm-hmm. He didn't even talk about the one that he had won. He was like, oh, I just thought how I should have had like four of them. Mm-hmm. And reeled off, like, you know, moments and games. And like, that's, I think that I mean, that competitor's mentality is what keeps coaches in a bad mood all the time. It's like, yeah, we won by 30. But man, we didn't execute on this drive. We didn't execute on this drive. We punted twice. Mm-hmm. And it's, I think it's it's a trait of, I think, the best coaches. Like, that's because they're demanding. And Coach talked about that. Coach Marion, you talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Like, you demand a lot of your players. And winning sometimes isn't the end goal. It's playing your best is what the end goal is.
Yeah, for me with the guys, it's really like, it's just such a short period of time with them. And, you know, like, the biggest compliment I get from, you know, my former players is that they're great in life. Like, they're good. Like, they don't need me to come save them or help them. Like, they are good because of the time that we spent together. I made sure every detail of what they need to be successful in life, they have. And I think you just have to maximize that as a coach. Like, I'm constantly coaching our coaches not to waste the players' time and to teach and develop them and be hard on them, discipline them. Mm-hmm. You know, every minute that you have with them,
is of the utmost importance, because these dudes are going to go out into the world, and this world, as you know, for a man is really hard. You know, it's, if you're not a provider, you're a zero. You know, like if you can't get it done, if you can't compete, you know, everybody wants to be on TV and be on ESPN and be on the radio. Y'all got to compete every week for that. Like that's, you can't have a bad show. You can't have a bad performance. You can't say I'm sick today. You know, like nobody cares about that stuff. And so everything that we're teaching them is so much bigger than, you know, just the wins and losses on the field, but also can you wake up, show up every day and win in life? You know, when everything might be crashing down, can you still get up and compete and do what you need to do to provide for your family? And so that's why I am the way I am. It's just because I just see that, you know, all that discipline and structure that my coaches gave me, that's what saved my life when it was time, when football was over and I was out there in that real world and it was time to compete. And your pockets is low and your energy is low and you don't know, you know, you get out of college, you know, so much time, you know, players complain. I remember my grandma like, you better slow down. You don't want to be an adult. You don't want these bills. You know, like you want to be grown so fast. And now I know what she was talking about. You know,
yeah, grandma really was right.
Yeah. When you get outside of college, it's real life. You better.
There ain't no going back.
No free meal. Ain't no free lunch no more. Ain't no. It's time to go.
Well, unless you hang out with Kenny. If you hang out with Kenny, you get, you know, you get keys to the city.
But I don't know what you're talking about. Mm. This DoorDash was not free. It came out of that Apple Pay. Coach, talking about the team a little bit, and I look at somebody like Cardale, and I look at, you know, Damian at the running back spot and Rodney, and how in the last three games or so, it feels like we see them improving with each game, maybe with each snap, getting more and more comfortable, getting better. I think back to all the excitement going into the season, all the names we had heard, practices we saw or whatever, and it was just a little off on the first game. And I think about myself and others, that was probably our fault because we just kind of thought like, hey, there's names out here. They're going to go out here and the go-go offense is going to go crazy from the first snap. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned a little bit last night, game reps matter. Like you can do whatever you want in practice, but actually being a game, actually being against an opponent who's scheming a different way for you, or just being in that environment, that matters. And it seems like these guys are starting to get more game reps and getting more comfortable. And we probably should have had that type of understanding and gave that grace at the start of the season as well.
Yeah, I always say as a player, it's a little bit different. Like as your first responsibility as a player, right, you just want to get on the field. You want to be able to make an impact for your team and get on the field. And then, you know, as you start to get on the field, then you want to be like a guy who, you know, they game plan plays for you. You make consistent plays and you're like one of the guys. And then you want to become like the guy. Like, okay, the country knows my name. Like I'm him. Like I'm that guy. And then you have next level aspirations because of, you know, the progression of what that takes. Yeah. A lot of our guys, people got excited because of their talent, right? And oftentimes because of talent, you know, you don't think that you have to prepare in a way, you know, people get fooled by their talent, you know, and they don't really rely on their work ethic. The guys that are having a lot of success right now are guys that don't believe that they're talented and they really work really, really hard. And they've worked really, really hard since they stepped foot on campus and they've been pushed to a new level as a player. But they still had that go to that through that progression of, I've been at a different school. I was just a guy who got a few touches, a few carries. I was in the game. I made a couple plays, but I wasn't the guy. You know what I'm saying? Like none of these guys have been the guy. We have one guy, Jamar Curtis, who's banged up right now. He was the guy at his school. He was the bell cow, All-American, Walter Payton finalist. You know, like he was the guy at his school. But the rest of the guys that we brought in, yes, they are very talented. Yes, they come from, you know, prestigious programs, but they weren't the guy, like where they were counted on down in, down out, game in, game out. Boom, you have got to make this play, right? Or we don't win the game. And so for a lot of our players, that only happens in games. And so now they're getting that confidence of, okay, I can consistently make this play. I'm really a guy. Like I can, You know what I mean? You know how it is. Like you've played sports. Until it's like, okay, the ball's in my hands. Like, I got to do this. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different responsibility of just, okay, I'm on the floor. If I'm open, they're going to give me a shot. Or if I'm open, I'm going to make a play, right? Now it's like, no, this play is designed for you to make this play. You have got to make this play.
It's a little easier, it feels like, to measure, you know, growth on the offensive end. You talked, Coach, with us a handful of weeks ago when this all started about the trenches, and talked about the turnover in this roster and how it was basically split between the offense and the defense. Are you seeing the growth that you want in the trenches just as much as you might be seeing it on the offensive end?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've practiced violent every day. I said the one thing we just had to do is it's weird because you have some comfortability with guys you go against every day. Mm-hmm. You know, I always say, like, anybody can be tough from anywhere. We see UFC fighters that come from, you know, anywhere, all over the country, you know, could come from affluent backgrounds or could come from, you know, poverty, and they rise up in fighting. But first you have to be at a, like, you know, shadow box, have your technique right. Then you're able to hit a bag. Then you get in the ring and you have a spar partner, but then you have to go against a stranger. Right. And so the mentality of our guys is just making sure that, like, you've been trained really well and you've went against a really good spar partner. Like, you know, when we go against each other every day, we get after it. If you've been to our practice, you see it's a violent practice. Like, guys really get after it. The first game, I thought we were, you know, a little timid versus stranger. And I'm like, fellas, we've been, you know, like, these dudes are trying to KO you and they can't. You know, they were giving us everything they had. And, you know, our guys were standing there and just taking shots. They weren't giving shots. And then after that, since that game, we've been giving shots and we've been taking shots on people and we've been, you know, being the aggressor and being dominant. And so I was proud of our guys from that standpoint of trusting the training, trusting that they've worked really hard against each other. Now go beat up on somebody else, you know, that's a stranger, not just beating up on your teammates every day.
Yeah. Coach Brendan Marion, Sac State football here on D-Lo and KC. I want to ask Coach just a general football question. I like talking to these coaches and just asking things that I never experienced. And I was watching 49ers Cardinals this past Sunday, and James Conner had a pretty rough injury. And I don't know how rough it is because I turned away and I didn't do no follow-up to see what it was. I just kept it moving. I can't handle that
broken. Spoiler alert, it was bad.
It was real bad. But I can't deal with all that stuff. I always wonder how you guys on the field see something like that and just line up on the next play. Because I don't know if I could do that. You know, if I was on the team, somebody breaks their leg or, you know, gets knocked out, gets concussed, they got to bring the stretcher. Everybody's circling around saying, hey, are you okay? The air cast comes out, all that stuff. And then, all right, here we go, second down. I'm like, wait a minute, I need a second. How is that mentality to kind of work through those type of moments?
There was a great poet by the name of Mobb Deep who once said, there's no such thing as halfway crooks. And, you know, it's just that's what you sign up for. Mm. You know, in the game, you know, when you put that helmet on, you put those shoulder pads on, you lace your cleats up, that, you know, that's why we always say play every play like it's your last, because you really never know in the game of the only thing that's certain in football is injuries. You know, there's going to be injuries that occur. And I think every player makes that decision in their heart and their mind when they go out there and play a full speed violent game. You know, there's men that run into each other at 20 miles per hour with a smile on their face trying to kill each other. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it's love. Like, that's respect. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so that's what, you know, we say football, like, we're not normal, regular people. Like, it's not normal to run into somebody like that and have that type of mindset. And take it as a – like, it's not even personal. It's just what happens when we get out here on this field. And so when injury occurs like that, I think all the players feel a sense of empathy. You know, they feel like, man, like, my guy went down. But then they know, like, this is what I signed up for.
It was Edgar Allan Prodigy that said that, by the way.
I was trying to think the whole time. Was that Prodigy or Havoc said that? I couldn't remember.
Edgar Allan Prodigy that said that. Coach, we appreciate you. As always, my man, good luck this Saturday. Cal Poly, right? Cal Poly this Saturday. Third game of a three-game homestand. These home games, man, they're disappearing off the schedule quick. This season is going by fast, man. So get out, show out at Sac State, or Coach is going to be really frustrated with you. And that's the last thing you want is Coach Marion being upset with you. That's right. Coach, we appreciate you. Good luck this week. Looking forward to talking to you again next week.
No doubt. Appreciate y'all. Stingers up.
Yes, sir. Yes, indeed. That's a man, Coach Marion, right there. We practice violent is going to live in my head. Oh my God. That phrase is going to live in my head.
Man, the Kings need to practice
violent. Jesus.
Somebody does. They can play violent too. Like, they get after it.
So we joke about this. I don't like standing on the sideline. Like, you keep saying, hey, you come stand down there. I do not want to stand there on the sideline with you. I do not like that. We did that once when we did a halftime thing a couple of years ago, and it is verbatim what Coach Marion just said. You have 265, 275, 285 primed athletes running at each other full speed. Mm-hmm. What type of noise do you think that makes? You hear it in the stands. What do you think that sounds like when you're 10 feet away? I was like, hey, come on, man.
Seeing it is crazy. Yeah,
like,
hey,
come on,
too,
man. Like, the rattling, like, that is, look, and I've made it very clear, my relationship with football is tough. Mm-hmm. That is not for me.
And like Coach,
just let me watch from the touchdown zone with my sliders, my popcorn, and my red wine.
Yeah,
leave me alone.
I had some of that Carmazzi popcorn on Saturday.
Oh my gosh. Shout out Carmazzi.
That's some good stuff.
Shout out Carmazzi.
But it's like Coach said, like, you'll see that, and both of them will get up like, whoa, yeah, I'm here, baby, I'm here.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Wait.
Well, yeah, I'm sure there's an adrenaline rush when you slam into another human being.
Man, and they love it.
Yeah.
They love it. Yeah, it's different. It's different. The injury thing.
I'm going to get a D'Lo and Casey shirt that says, we practice violence.
There we go. I like that. Mark, we'll wear that.
Yeah, there you go, Mark. Mark, we got it. We figured it out, finally.
But, yeah, that's the injury thing. I just kept thinking about it. Because I could barely watch the next couple of downs.
Well, it.
Like, let alone make a play
if
I was out there.
And that one was bad. Like, it wasn't a... thankfully, I didn't.
Really,
I saw it live. Yeah.
I saw something.
I didn't
was
go
wrong,
back and watch the replay. The reaction of everybody was more of the, oh, this was bad. Stay off social media for a while because there's some jackass is going to circulate.
Oh, look at this.
Yeah.
Stop, bro.
But I don't. It wasn't it wasn't Gordon Hayward. You know what I mean? It wasn't that. But bouncing back after that is crazy. You think back when my brother from the Bills,
DeMar Hamlin.
Oh, DeMar Hamlin. Yeah.
Like the idea that you were just going back to play football after that. Like, I remember when they took like their second commercial break. This was back in the era when I was tweeting. I remember saying, this isn't, I don't know what's happening on the football field, but this, whatever is happening isn't normal. This is not the guarding of the circular thing, like, that's not normal. And the idea that they were just going to go back and play football was insane. And thankfully, whether the players said, we're not doing this, the coaches, whoever was the first to say, we're not doing this, salute. But football absolutely expected you to just go play football after that.
That's crazy.
And like, I get it. It's a thing we sign up for. Speak is why I didn't sign up for it. Right. I have zero issue saying, Coach, Andy, Mark, all our guys are set. Your boy ain't built for this.
No, sir, not me.
I will happily talk about your program before I participate.
I'll watch
in
my
it.
Popcorn.
That's it.
That's how
popcorn
I'm doing
and wine. Hey, keep the popcorn and wine coming, and I'll be at Sac State. That's simple. We'll come back. We'll shift from football back to basketball. We'll shift back to the Sacramento Kings. We're a couple of days away from media day. Matt George, our very good friend from ABC 10 and the Locked On Kings podcast, going to join us coming up in about 30 minutes. It is D'Lo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 13.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, let's go straight to the phone lines here. The Elk Grove Kid Talk Line. 916-909-1320. Our man Mitch. Mitch, what's up, baby?
D-Lo, KC, Jesse, what's going on? Hope everything's well.
Yeah, Mitch, what's going on, man? It's been a minute, man. We ain't heard from you in a while.
Well, you can tweet me. I know you everybody's watching my tweets for some reason, you know? I think I'm more popular than the guy in the White House, but I think that's a good thing. I don't think you have to worry about Purdy being the next Wally Pipp.
Okay.
I'm hoping my Raiders can control Caleb Williams because he's got some wide receivers and could be doing some running some circles, but they can't get their offensive line is a mess.
Wait a minute, Mitch. You're a Raiders fan?
Yeah, Raiders, 49ers. You know, I like a few teams. You know how I am. That's like I'm, you know, a bit of a scatterbrain, right?
Yeah,
I never heard before.
I never heard you talk about the Raiders, though.
I don't worry pretty much. It's all right. I can take it. I'm not thin skinned. Come on. Give it to me. Come on. Roast me.
Well, okay. Easy. All right. Hey, Mitch.
Yeah.
Mitch.
Okay. All right. Let me get my. I'm going through my thoughts here. USC, kicking butt.
Yep.
And this one's for KC. Uh-huh.
Don't say anything like crazy.
How do you like my Dodgers now? Can we get the parade? To go up north and come back down south to downtown LA?
Right,
is that
Mitch.
Possible?
All right, Mitch.
Would that be the 4 or 5 or the route 5?
Oh, man. I got to deal with this crap for another year because Ryan Walker can't save a game.
Can I make a request? Collectively.
Okay.
As a sports
collective.
Thank you. Can we stop making Wally Pipp references?
Hey.
It was 1925.
No, look. I think we have stopped. It's just Mitch.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. Mitch and Kornheiser. Yeah, I guess that's the demo for Wally Pipp references. Wally Pipp references, please.
I mean, essentially, Alex Smith is the new Wally Pipp, right? Cap got him, and then Mahomes got him.
Oh,
well, I guess
yeah,
Mahomes
but
didn't get him,
same.
But like he's kind of asked to
yeah,
leave.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I mean, Cap did get him because, like, Alex Smith. You wonder why the NFL is the way that it is. Alex Smith, the first guy in history to go, "Hey, something's not right, man. I'm experiencing like concussion. Something's not right."
Yeah.
And Harbaugh was like, "Oh, okay, cool." Oh, man, turns out this kid's better.
No, he said, yeah, I think you're right, Alex. Yeah.
Okay.
Cap.
Can I point something out? I hate to do this because I know this is just going to lead down a terrible path. Your Jim Harbaugh sounds like The Rock.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. I'll tell you this right now, Damien, it doesn't. Because when I talk about The Rock, when I talk like The Rock, sometimes you got to get a little excited and you talk about 6 weeks. 6 weeks is how many weeks you've been listening to Dwayne right here on D'Lo and KC.
Yeah.
Charlie told me you needed me.
Way more than 6 weeks.
Charlie told me you needed me.
Charlie
and
was
wrong. I was here. Now, when I say John Harbaugh, it's just more like, yeah. Yeah. Alex, you don't look right. Cap, get in.
And for some reason, all of these sound like some version of like Draymond Green and Doc Rivers. That's Lewis. Lewis is on the line.
Oh,
are you serious?
Oh, and I have the real Wally Pipp too. Before we get to Lewis,
Oh God, I just asked for us to stop making Wally.
No,
Pipp
we can
references.
Change the name. The Wally, the this generation's Wally Pipp is Drew Bledsoe.
Fair enough,
but no, I don't even think that that's true. Because so
wait, who took over for Wally Pipp again?
Lou Gehrig.
Yeah, we need a new reference.
The thing is,
more Yankees history.
Isn't the thing Wally Pipp had a headache, and then so they started Lou Gehrig, and then Lou Gehrig starts the next 2,100 something games.
Yeah,
isn't that the thing?
But Wally
Drew
Pipp
Bledsoe
was, the
was replaced
because he got hurt.
Oh, that's true. If not because he had a headache.
If he didn't, yeah, he like.
While he pips, I don't think he had a headache.
Like his spleen got ruptured or something on a hit, something crazy.
Well, I'm sure a headache back then, like you probably on the verge.
The verge of what?
What is this?
Yeah. Like, well, they had Advil back then? I doubt
you
it.
You can't take Tylenol because apparently it causes autism.
That's what I've heard. It's like back then, brother's got a cough. He's like, yeah, he's about to go.
God bless you. God bless you.
Wally Pipp that day might have had a headache. He's like, fellas, I don't think I'm going to make it tomorrow.
Again.
And we laugh, but it's like that might have been serious.
Yes,
back then.
In 1925, a headache might kill you.
Well, let's plan his replacement because Wally Pipp's not going to make it. Lou, you're in.
Yeah.
Are headaches contagious? No.
They might have threw a party for Wally the next day.
Headache was the COVID.
They threw him a New Orleans funeral.
Second line out there. Wally Pipp was born in 1892.
Jesus Christ.
That's prime, like, headache might kill me years right there.
How old was Wally Pipp when he died? Like 48?
Let me do some math here.
71.
Okay.
He made it to 1965.
So the headache
it's a little older than 71. That's 73, ain't it?
This is AI. I don't know. I didn't do a deep dive.
Okay, look, AI isn't always right.
Yeah, I don't know.
But 71, 72, 73.
70 something. Yeah, that's good.
The headache didn't kill him.
No, yeah, he survived the headache.
We wondered, but the headache didn't, in fact, kill him.
He got past the headache. He's talking like 50 Cent. I'm here for a real reason.
He got past the headache. This guy's an ox right here.
I'm here for a real reason. God's got a plan for me, sir.
Wasn't even a migraine.
Lou Gehrig got a disease that no one even understood, so they just named it after him.
Yeah.
That's
well, that was a wild time when we were trying to figure out the world.
Yeah, so let's remind you, if there was a baseball record set when they were naming diseases after the first people to get them, the record doesn't count.
Fair enough, to be honest.
That is the rule. If you want to scrap the color barrier, it's fine. Scrap the color barrier. If they're naming diseases after the person who got them, the record doesn't count.
We'll start the record book at whatever, like, Willie Mays and that little group set right there, Hank Aaron, that group right there set from on.
We're starting in 45. The record book starts in 45.
There we go right there.
Is it 45? Is it 47? 45.
I think it's 45.
I think it's 1945. The record book starts in 1945.
And start.
Lewis. Man, Lewis, where the hell have you been?
Lewis, what's up, man?
Oh, man, you know, man, I could tell y'all everything that's been going on. It's been a lot.
I wouldn't do that. Yeah, Jesse will cut you off.
I hope you're all right, big dog.
Yeah, we hope you're good. Exactly. We love you, Lewis.
No,
we love you.
Better than ever. Wanted to talk a little bit of NFL. Okay. You know, it's interesting to me because to me, I see incredible quarterback play. I'm sorry to see so many quarterbacks that got injured in these first few weeks and stuff. But wow, have we ever seen quarterback play like this before? Now, this one I'm looking at, Lamar Jackson, and then they're going to get up against them Kansas City Chiefs. Both teams are 1-2. One might fall to 1-3. Ooh, looks horrible, right? Who y'all got, right? I roll with my Ravens. That's how I roll. But then also, if I could just softly pedal back, I'm curious now what you folks make of the Parsons situation and also the Sanders situation. Personally, What I see is the NFL owners and the decision makers saying to folks, the quality doesn't matter. We're okay with putting an inferior product on the field, and you folks will buy it. Here we are, Jackson Dart. He's about to start for the Giants. Him and Shadur, they were equally rated, right? One could go first, one what, right? What do you guys think? What are you guys making this thing now?
Thank you, Lewis. Lewis. Lewis went for two straight minutes.
I had to cut your guys' mic.
As soon as the second Lewis started talking, I knew he was going to just go. Let my man cook.
It's been too long, man. Lewis needed some time.
Lewis needed some time. Oh, Lewis, we love you, baby. Real brothers in Sacramento.
Yes, indeed, man. Yes, indeed. Let me see. Do we remember his questions? He's a Ravens fan.
Oh, we got Jackson Dart in there.
Jackson Dart got in there. He wants to know what we think about Parsons and Sanders. I'm assuming Shadur.
I saw what Deion said. Was it yesterday? The day before? I mean, Schefter tweeted it like it was news. It's not news. Come on, man. It's a dad. He said, I think my son's going to start. Well, he said, I think Shadur is going to start for Cleveland at some point this year. And I get it. It's prime. It's Shadur. It's a polarizing topic. It's Schefter. Schefter, you know, wants the engagement on the account. Like, I get it. That's his dad, man. Like, what you think he's going to say?
Right.
There's nothing there. The tricky part with overreaction Thursday, I think the Browns are a good football team.
They're an elite defense.
So let me ask you guys this.
Because this was one of the overreactions.
I'll state it as an overreaction. The Browns are a good quarterback away from being a playoff team.
That's an overreaction.
I
don't love Jerry Jeudy.
It's a little bit of an overreaction, but they're a quarterback away from being a significantly better football team. I think it's rare that defenses go win games for you.
Give me a good quarterback. Like, what would be a quarterback? Like, is Sam Darnold taking them to the playoffs?
Good question.
That's
a great question.
You know, it's always tough because I think
Minnesota's defense was really good last year.
Because the Browns' defense is elite, so I don't want to say like no or overreaction so fast, like quickly, because like if you put the right quarterback there, then maybe. But I don't know what we're talking good quarterback is.
And I also the reason why I hesitate a little bit because I think sometimes it also for me at least it depends on the coach too, right? Like Sam Darnold wasn't Sam Darnold until he got with Kyle and JJ, and that worked for him. But just in a vacuum, yeah, Sam Darnold, they could be legit contending for the playoffs if they had a Sam Darnold.
If we're talking contending for the playoffs, yeah, I'll say it's not an overreaction.
Joe Flacco, just, you're not good, man.
He's just old.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, yeah.
Joe Flacco 10 years ago, maybe.
Yeah, what's his name? Joe Montana. Today would probably have a problem in the NFL as well. Yeah, this guy's just not young enough to be able to lead a team. But yeah, I wonder. And to that point, though, I wonder if it gets to the point where whether it's Dylan Gabriel or Shadur, make the move.
Yeah, the question could very much be about. It could more be about who do you like? Who do they believe in?
I wonder if
do they believe Joe Flacco is the best option for them? I think part of the problem is too. Sorry, Jesse, is I don't think their offensive line is very good, and having a quarterback who is 40, or if he's not 40, he's approaching it, and Joe Flacco maybe isn't the best situation. Like I'm sure his decision making is still sharp, but he probably can't move around the same. Even if you're talking about when you're talking about an offensive, you're talking about split seconds. You're not talking about a 24-second shot clock. You're talking about immediacy, and even shaving a second off of that, that's going to be tough for Joe.
Yeah,
It's going to be tough. Sorry, Jesse. Go ahead.
No, I wonder if there's even an avenue for like Gabriel or Shador to even see the field this year, just because like the Browns' defense is always going to keep opposing teams, you'd assume, like around 15, 20 points. But, like, you don't have to do much if you're the Browns' offense. Like, I wonder if it's just Joe's got to get hurt, or I don't
know. It might be. I mean, there could be. I mean, we just talked about that offensive line. There could be a point where Joe takes a bad hit.
And
misses a game two, or you know, hopefully nothing serious, but misses some time. And you have the Wally Pipp situation where Joe Flacco gets benched. Lamar Jackson comes in.
Yeah.
Remember, Joe Flacco was injured.
Mm-hmm.
And Lamar went in. Lamar saved the Ravens' season. Probably a very, very compelling argument that he saved John Harbaugh's job.
Mm.
Like, I know that sounds ridiculous today, but take yourself back a handful of years ago when Flacco was quarterbacking the Baltimore Ravens into a lost season. Lamar Jackson comes in and he takes off.
Right.
And all of a sudden, John Harbaugh has his quarterback of the future. Joe Flacco was gone. I think Joe Flacco was actually, was he around the next year?
I feel like he was.
No, I don't think he was, because what I'm thinking about is the playoff game. He was healthy for the playoff game, and they kept showing it, because obviously Lamar bombed that first playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, should you have started Joe? Should you have started Joe? I don't think that happened after an entire year of Joe Flacco sitting. I think it was that year.
Okay.
I could be wrong on that. But I remember the playoff game and them just keep flashing to Joe Flacco, Flacco. And, you know, obviously that became Lamar's job. Harbaugh was safe. He had his quarterback. And now we're talking about them being Super Bowl contenders every year, despite the fact they're staring at a potential 1-3 start to the season.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.